Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Spotlight on Success. I have a great guest here today. I've been reading up on it, and I'm going to admit up front, I'm not necessarily the most knowledgeable guy on boxing, but this is a great story, and I'm great with the stories and figuring out how people do what to get where they are, and that's really what it's all about. And then after we kind of discuss that, we're going to talk about what's coming up here in December for these particular gentlemen. And I'd like to welcome Jonathan Banks to the show. How you doing, Jonathan?
Hey, I'm good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hanging in there.
That's good.
Up here in upstate New York.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. I'm glad to have you on the show. Jonathan, you are a very well-accomplished boxer. You're in your own rights, and you are also a trainer. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to talk about sort of your backstory, how you got where you are, and then kind of how you are, I think, maybe in the process or about to transfer, or you've been kind of, I think, in a way, inherited Vladimir Klitschko from a former friend and trainer, is what it looks like in the bio here. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are as far as boxing and all that sort of stuff.
Well, my background all starts out of Detroit, Michigan, man. And Detroit is where my heart is at because of, you know, that's where the all start was at. But the reason that where I'm at, where I am where I'm at today, and the reason why the story is so interesting as far as being a trainer to the heavyweight champion and being the only fighter ever in the history of the sport to actually train the heavyweight champion of the world and still be active himself. And being the youngest heavyweight champion, being the youngest trainer to the heavyweight champion of the world. It all started because I was boxing. Obviously, when I started, I was 14. You know, I started in the amateurs. The late, great Emanuel Stewart, he took me up under his wing as a 15-year-old kid. And, I mean, I traveled with him, traveled the world with him. I lived with him. He was like a father to me. So, and he also, at the time that we actually first got together as a teen, young teenager, he was training the former undisputed heavyweight, the last undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, which is Lennox Lewis. That's the last guy he trained. He was training. That's the guy he was training at the time. Wow. And 2004, Emmanuel turned me pro. And I was 1-0. And the next fight, he said, the next fight will be whatever. He said, I want you to come to this camp with me. I'm starting to train. One of the Klitschko brothers wanted me to train him. And that's when I met Vladimir Klitschko. I was 1-0 in 2004. And he was getting his career, he was getting his career restarted again. And I was just starting mine. And we met. We became friends instantly because we had a really good rapport with one another, and you know, the rest. I was his sparring partner for years. All his when he got back to the title, I was his sparring partner to get for all his big fights up until a few years from now. Up until a few years ago, uh-huh. And then I just became I was just in a camp with him, some camps with just him and Emmanuel, and then about 2012. He called me when Emmanuel was in the hospital and asked me, can I be his coach? And I like, yeah. He said, what? I said, yeah. He said, did you hear what I said? I said, yeah, I heard what you said. Are you sure you understood the question? I said, yeah, I understood the question. And so then after I hung up with him, I got another call saying that I have a fight in like November 2 on HBO. And so that fight put my fight a week apart from Vladimir's fight. So Vladimir called me back, said, Jimmy, I just heard about your fight. I said, yeah. He said, are you sure you could do this? I said, dude, listen, let me do this. I can do it. If you want me to do it, I can do it. I don't have any problem. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, I can do it. So obviously I did it. So it's good.
Yeah, and so maybe in his mind he's thinking, like, you know, obviously he really wanted you to do it. And he was like, do you know why he just didn't want to have you feel like you had to do it and maybe overcommit? And at the same time, you're kind of launching your career, or I guess in 2012, your career
exactly.
Pretty well underway.
Yeah, my career was out there, but at the same time, you got to understand that he's that elite heavyweight champion. So he said, "Listen, I'm not about to just do it. If you can't do it, tell me. I would try to find somebody else, but I just want to know. Talk to me. Can you do it?" And that's what the situation was. I told him, I said, "Listen, you called me. Do you want me to do this?" He said, "Yeah, it's okay. Fine, let's do it. I'm saying I can do it. I can do it. Let's do it."
Sure.
And he have no regrets about his decision, and neither do I.
Wonderful. And you guys are more, you know, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of people who are what you call coaches and trainers, and it's more of a business relationship, whereas yours is a business relationship, but at the same time, like you had referred to, was it Mr. Stewart was his name?
Yes, United Stewart.
Yeah, you had referred to him as almost like a father to you. I mean, when you get these kind trainer. Yeah, it's more like it's more of a family than it is a business relationship.
Exactly. I mean, some things start off as business, and some situations is business situations, but you end up, after so long, you end up dealing with each other like family. And some people start off as friends, and next thing you look up, they consider themselves brothers. You know, and some people start off as brothers that don't even consider themselves friends. Now I want to have nothing to do with them. You know? So it's just some of those special type of situations.
So it's really, blood is really not thicker than water, right? In that essence,
that's a good
analogy.
So
I mean, that's
all,
a good point.
It's all depends on the people. You know, for me and my brothers. Like, there's nobody closer. Can nobody get in between that gap? If somebody went and told my brother, said I was talking junk about him and I'm going to steal from him, my brother could look at them and like, "Dude, get away from me. He ain't going to do that," because they know nobody could come between that. And that's where you get, and I think when you get somebody that's not related to you and you consider yourself like brothers and like family, that's a bond that can't come between that. Because it's easy for a brother to consider another brother a brother because we actually are brothers. You know, so that's easy to do. But to consider someone else that you have no blood ties with, no family ties with, to consider them a family member and a brother, that's a huge statement.
Right. And not for nothing. I mean, it's almost like the bond that, two troopers in the field might produce out of, out of being two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That right there is a perfect example. That right there is a great example. Because they have to be one. They can't be arguing. Because he's got to watch his back. He got to watch his back. They both want to make sure each other go home to their families. So that's the perfect example.
And not for nothing, you could get killed out there. I mean, it's a dangerous sport you're in.
Listen, man. Yes, some guys have. I mean, we all got friends. Whatever business the person in, you have friends that's also in the business. You know,
sure.
So I know guys in this business who got hit a little bit too much, and like they end up dying. They go into the locker room, collapse, and just some of them never be the same.
Right. Yeah. It's not a sport for babies. You got to go into that ring and like, hey, if you guys aren't as thick as two brothers ever might get, like you said, you have his back, he's got your back, and that's why it develops into this. Like I say, it's a very different. You know, a boxer is an entrepreneur in the sense that I don't think a lot of people realize this, but he's an entrepreneur who literally goes to battle for his job every single time he steps in the ring. And it's an interesting relationship. And that's why I said it's different than, you know, if somebody goes out to hire a trainer to train them to, spin a widget at a factory or whatever, not to insult the widget makers, but it's a strictly business relationship, but not always true too, because there is some sense of camaraderie there. But when your job is to go into the battle zone, you're gonna develop relationships that just can't be.
To develop some type of rapport, even if you don't like each other, you must respect each other.
Right.
And that's the main thing to it. You must respect each other, and if everybody like you got some people. Who may not even like each other at all. Like, matter of fact, take the 92, 94, the Bulls. When they ran them three series, the Jordan retired, then they came back, and he came back, and they ran three more in a row.
Mm.
It's the camaraderie that they had. They didn't hang out together every day. Half of them didn't even talk to Jordan once they left the gym. But it's the respect they had, number one, and it's how hard they work together. As long as you're willing to work together and do what you got to do for the next man, you can make some things happen.
That's interesting. Yep. That's a really interesting way to look at it. Now, you have so just to get this in perspective, because I read the bio and everything, but I just want to make sure I understand. So when you were 25-1-1 with 19 KOs. That was 2012.
Probably so.
That was Seth. Sorry, my bad. So right, I'm reading the bio. Banks, you stopped the guy that was 25-1-1. His name was Seth Mitchell, right?
Yes.
Back in 2012. Was that kind of when you? So, are you still actively boxing or mostly training?
Well, I'm doing both. I have a fight. I'm in training camp right now because
okay.
I have a fight coming up. I just left training camp because my fighter just fought on HBO. And then I came to my training camp.
So you're still heavy at the boxing as well as you're taking on. You still continue to train at the same time. I kind of read it wrong. I thought it was like you were sometime in 2012. It seemed from the bio that you kind of merged over more from the boxing to the training. But you're still full time both.
So 2012 was my first assignment. As the head trainer to the heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh, I see. Okay,
which is a huge assignment.
Okay.
Right, which is a huge assignment. And
gotcha.
When the word got out that he was hiring mm-hmm. John DeBanks, people were like, dude, are you kidding? This dude never trained. Think about this, okay? Think about this.
Okay.
Now, you want somebody to host your show. They never host a show a day in their life. They've seen it done. They've never done it. They've never physically done it before. And you want them to go to the highest level of hosting in radio
uh-huh.
or in talk on whatever it is. You want
sure.
them to go to the highest level. You can't expect someone to do that their first time out. That's like
no.
going to the casino and everything you hit is you hit jackpot, everything you hit. You win
right.
in every game.
Yeah,
who
right.
does it? That doesn't happen.
No.
So that was the situation.
Not me, you know, like
that. But it turned out to be a good situation for me, so I'm happy about it.
Beautiful. That's good. We've got some dates coming up here, December 11th. So tell us about that.
Yeah, December 11th. Myself, Jonathan Banks, is fighting Tony Tarver in California on ESPN.
Beautiful. Now, how far out
it's
do you plan those Do you plan, do you have, like, tentative dates set for after that, or you can just do one date at a time? The upcoming date is the one that's kind of
one
being marketed
fight at
right
time.
Now for your website.
That's my goal. My goal is one fight at a time.
Yeah.
You know, because I think but the second fight doesn't matter. You can't even get past the first fight. So the
right.
fight,
yeah,
this fight is in front of me. Exactly. This fight is in front of me, and that's the fight I'm looking at. And that's the only fight that matters right now.
Yeah, good point. Yep, just like when the NFL guys go into their game, they can't think about the team coming up next. They got to focus on the one that they're about to
exactly,
battle.
Exactly. If you don't get past the team you in front of, who comes up next don't even matter to you.
Right. What kind of things? How many? Give me a feeling for how many hours a week you're training versus either like do you have any time for even normal life stuff? I mean, what do you do on when you're not boxing? Do you even have time to do that? How? Give me a feel for like how you, because I know most entrepreneurs, whether you're a boxer or you're somebody who's in business, it's very difficult to balance the professional time with the off time. Is that a challenge that you find in your business?
It's not so much that it's just difficult to balance it. It's just to me, I always look at it as place value. You know, you place your cup in the cup holders. You know, you put your plates where the plates need to be. You put things where they need to be. So for me, when I'm working, I put everything into what I'm doing. And when it's time to relax, then you know you have time to relax. It's all about place value. Even no matter what you do, who you are, you got to sacrifice something to continue to do what you love or what you want to do, or just continue to do your job. Something must be sacrificed. And if I have to give up some social weeks because I can't be social the next couple of weeks or I got to fight, then oh well. You always can get social back. That's not a problem.
Sure. Yep. And it's, like I say, I mean, once again, it's kind of hard to imagine the boxer as an entrepreneur, but that is totally what it is. And it's the same thing that a successful entrepreneur would tell me the same as a successful boxer. He's like, look, when you're in the midst of your career, it doesn't matter really if you're just starting your career or you're in the middle of it or you're at the end of it. There's always some degree of sacrifice that you have to put up. And on large part, you're doing it, you know, whether it's your family or your mom or dad or whoever it is, you're really doing it for everybody around you. And you, when you put so much into training or into your own training, and then you're also, you know, you're also working with another boxer who is really making a name for himself as well.
Exactly.
Like you said, there has to be sacrifices. What about tomorrow? Are you going to take a break tomorrow? You get a day off tomorrow for Thanksgiving or what?
No, I work tomorrow.
All day?
All day. My regular work day. Tomorrow's a regular work day for me. And the reason
especially
I'm excited
with a fight
about
coming up, right?
And think about it, that's something to be thankful for. How many people get to do what they love? I get to do what I love, and I love doing it. So it's not a problem for me.
Yeah, that's another very common thread that I have with business, successful business people and entrepreneurs, is that if you find something that you really love to do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly. This is me. I love it.
Yeah. Business is a booming, right? What about Vladimir? Can you tell us a little more about what he's up to, what he's doing? Give him a couple of plugs out for anything coming up with Vladimir.
Right now, Vladimir is after the fight, he went home to relax. He's with his fiance. As the world knows, his fiance is pregnant. She's expecting any day now, and he's excited, waiting on that.
There you go.
Yeah, he's about to be a father. He's very excited about it.
Very cool.
I just talked to him yesterday. Matter of fact, he called me yesterday.
That's awesome. You have, when you, let's go back. I'll step back a little bit.
Whatever you want to do. Any questions you got? You say you're not a really knowledgeable about boxing. I remember you saying that. You're talking to the right person. Whatever you want to know, I'm here for you, man.
Yeah, all right. That's very cool. Thank you. How about a little more about the mindset of, so you were a teenager when you got into boxing. What kind of personality? I mean, obviously you could be aggressive personality without some sort of aggressive personality type. You got to be able to go out there. And I noticed on your one marketing thing, it says, I like how you phrased it because it says, I don't have it in front of me, but it says something like, Jonathan Banks will defeat. Jonathan's going to box, this other guy. It says Jonathan will defeat, and then it says the date.
That's
the kind of mindset you have to have, though, right? You can't just, you have to have it in your head that you're going to win that bout or that you're going to win.
That's like driving on the freeway saying, I'm going to get an accident. I do. Who talks like that? You know, if you keep saying it, if that's your biggest fear, then that's what's going to happen to you. Just focus on driving. And for me, I focus on training and I focus on winning. So that's my focus. That's my focus point. I mean, it's like if we are going to play baseball, how many people hope not to hit a home run? How many pitchers hope not to get a strikeout? it's crazy, you know. So I mean, that's what it is. You have to work to get it. So that's what it's about.
Right. What gets you into boxing in the first place, though? Like, was this like something that you just knew you were going to do from a young age?
Listen,
I mean,
man,
how about like
I'm
background?
Right
how about there. Like, is there a family background in it? I mean, what kind of drives you toward that?
No, it's no family background in it. It was no family. I was in the gym when I was a baby, and that's why. No, it was nothing like that. Boxing was just something that was in me when I was born, because that's all what I wanted to do. I didn't want to fight. I wanted to box. My first dream I remember having was about boxing. I remember begging my mother all the time, "I want to box, I want to box, I want to box." That's just always what I wanted to do.
Literally born to box.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people fight that too. It's like Olympians. It's like people that are people who get really good at what they do. Whether it's like a lot of, you know. I don't know, an actor who was singing and dancing for his family at Thanksgiving time. And it's like, it's really like you're wired to do certain things. Like, you know, some people are wired to start out as a teenager. It's like, think about it this way. Like, everybody who kind of just, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but anybody who kind of, because I know a lot of people are like this, they don't kind of have that extra kind of, I don't know, just a will to do something. And so you find young adults who are 18 in high school, they don't know what they're going to do, they don't know what they're going to go to college for, they go there and they change their mind five times, and then they end up not
true.
In college. And it's like, you know what, people who are professional athletes and, you know, or, the, you know, non-professionals in the Olympics, whatever, people who reach a certain level, you know, in the sporting industry, whether it be boxing or whatever it is, it seems like they did have that drive young, and that's all they focused on. And so by being hyper-focused, maybe that's the word I'm looking for, just hyper-focused on one outcome, on one goal. And that way, you know, the kids that still don't know what their degree is going to be after 4 years of college, they never really had that kind of ability focused on one goal.
Yeah, which is crazy to me. Because they say, I read the article saying in life, you either can live your dream or work for somebody who did.
That's a good one. Where did you see that? Where's that? I love that.
And that's just, I mean, I don't know. I don't even remember what it was when I seen it.
Oh,
who
knows?
Right?
Who knows?
I read
so many things. I don't know
exactly. I was in Austria somewhere when I read this.
Yeah. Wow.
And But it was one of the it was a perfect situation, man. Like this can go. This is what you tell the kids in high school. It's thinking about their ninth grade, 10th grade. Now listen, either you can pursue your dreams or you go work for somebody who did. It's up to you. Whichever one you want to do.
That's great. That's really cool. That's a great, great phrase. I like that. That's and that once again that really pertains to every single. Sort of
everything.
What I call self-marketers and across the board, right? It's like
that's the beauty of boxing, and that's the beauty of me learning and loving what I do, because whatever I do, I feel I can relate. What I can relate something to any act of life, and if you've never done a sport in your life, we could talk, and I can relate something to you that I experienced in the sport of boxing, because it covers everything. When you're dealing with something, put your body through pain sometimes. Sometimes it makes you cheer. Sometimes it makes you happy. Sometimes it makes you sad. A lot of times it makes you hurt. When you put your body through something like that, you learn so much and so many things you can get out of it. So,
right.
I mean, that's why, I mean, from far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best sports you can ever do.
Yeah, it's certainly a particular gift to be able to really know what you want to do at a young age, and it's like I say, it's something where you pick something somehow you knew whatever your intuition, whatever the hell you want to call it, it's something that you found out early in life. You focused on it because sometimes a lot of typical self-marketer entrepreneurs will come from a background where they had a 9-to-5 job. They know they can do it better than the guy who's in charge, or they believe they can. But sometimes not so much. Maybe they're overly confident, but the point is they've decided that they're going to do their own thing, and they take a base of, like, you know, contacts or people who they've talked with as business associates, and they take that and they move on. they finally found what they like to do, and then after that, like I said, once they found what they like to do, they've never working again because they're enjoying what they're doing. They intend
exactly.
to be the best at it. You know, the benefit to when you just decide at an early age and you just somehow intuitively know what you're going to do, you do have a 10-year advantage or 15-year advantage because you already knew what you were going to do and you were focused on it for who knows how many years at this point. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's all I ever wanted to do, and that's the thing about it. I didn't like a lot of people. They want to. They may want to be an engineer, but oh man, I didn't do this right. I'm gonna go work in the factory. I'm just gonna work in the factory. So
right.
A lot of people may want to do something, but not a lot of people. They first dream, they only dream, they get to live it, and I'm very fortunate.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I get to do that.
You know, there's definitely, like I say, some sort of gift there where you just knew it and you did it and you're good at it and you continue to be good at it. And it's always good to be confident going into anything, whether it's a boxing match or a football game or a negotiation.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And especially in negotiation.
You start early, you figure it out early, and like I say, you know, the people that don't get – figure out what degree they want till they're 25. Well, they're where you were now 15 years, you know, who knows how many years ago, but
exactly.
you figured that stuff out a decade ago, and now they're way behind the eight ball. But what? Eventually,
exactly.
If you find what you like to do, you'll get good at it. But that's what it is right there. You know, people who are professional athletes, and like I say, people who make it to the Olympics, they just knew somehow, actors and actresses, they just knew when they were young, and their whole family knew too. That's the funny part. Your whole family's
yeah.
like, oh, we knew this one was going to do this or this one was going to do that. We could tell just based on the personality type, you know. And for
yep.
some reason, engineers take a lot longer to figure. Engineers, who are supposed to be smarter than me, are the ones who took longer to figure it out. Well, that's their problem. But, hey, as long as you figure it out, you venture off. You have the moxie to start a business. You know, I respect that in everybody who does a business. And literally what you're doing is a business, and you know that. And like a book author, people don't think book authors are entrepreneurs. Are you kidding me? People think when you get published, the marketing company helps you sell that thing. That's not how that works. You sell it. You sell that. The publishing company prints a bunch of copies.
I agree.
But you got to market yourself, and that's the same that goes for you. And eventually it looks like you've teamed with some people, though, at this point, who are working your marketing angle a little bit or whatever. You know, but when you first start, usually you're on your own, or you have one person like your trainer who's more like a family member who's going to look out for you more than they are kind of your marketing guy. But they end up being like a spokesperson, and then eventually, you know, you get a marketing company. But by and large, you got to
exactly. And that person for me was Emanuel Stewart. He had the name, he had the fame, he had the resume.
There you go.
It wasn't not one trainer in the history of the sport that's more highly decorated than he was.
Yeah.
So with someone like that speaking my name and being in his, just being in his company did wonders for me.
Right. Yeah. Great story. I'm so glad I had you on. I love it. Inspirational. It's a good story. And like I say, it kind of highlights how business is business. Every job, every career, every whatever you are, you're a business and you do self-marketing and you are confident. You go into it with confidence and you succeed because you have the goal. You see the goal. And you reach the goal. And congratulations on all that. And I was glad to have you. We're down to 1 minute. We're going to do a site speak here. If you want to go ahead and give a website address.
You can follow me on Instagram, Jonathan_Banks. Twitter, Jonathan_Banks. And, I mean, that's about it. I mean, if people watch the site on ESPN on December 11th.
Yep. Yep, and really just to Google, you're pretty well positioned in Google if you just search for Jonathan Banks, and you have that H for Jonathan. Jonathan Banks and Jonathan_Banks and Twitter and all those feed places, and we're down to 30 seconds. Hey, thanks a bunch for coming on, Jonathan. I look forward to following your future and where you end up, and anybody out there that wants to read a little more, just search for Spotlight on Success in Google. We're pretty well positioned, and if you want to add in Jonathan Banks, you'll direct. But if you just search Spotlight on Success, you'll find our radio show, and we're down to 10 seconds. So once again, Jonathan, it was a pleasure.
Thanks
for
a lot,
coming
man.
On.
My
take
pleasure.
Care, and I'll keep up on your career. Thanks a bunch, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's talk again. We want to know some more information about boxing.
All righty.
Okay.